This morning we are in Psalm 67. Psalm 67. The sermon title is, Who is the Us? Who is the Us? Psalm 67 begins, To the chief musician on stringed instruments, a psalm, a song. Sort of an odd thing there. I think it means that this psalm could actually be sung. Sometimes they were chanted. Evidently, this one had music that went along with it. And so you could play a stringed instrument, presumably some kind of harp, and the song could be sung. Verse number one, God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. The New Living Translation says, May his face smile with favor on us. Selah. So I was reading this psalm. The first thing that grabbed my attention is that this line is not written in the second person. It's written in the third person. In other words, it isn't God be merciful to us and bless us and cause your face to shine upon us. It's his face. So the psalm begins with kind of a reflection and almost a benedictory type sentiment. It isn't quite a prayer because it's not addressed to God in the sense that you would say you. You have the word his instead. And then I find myself quickly asking, well, who's the us? God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Verse number two, that your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. The New Living Translation says, may your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. But now you'll notice that we have changed. We've gone from his to your, haven't we? Right? That your way may be known on the earth, your salvation among the Gentiles. It is amazing to me how quickly thinking about God becomes praying to God. How many times has that happened? But you were reading the scripture or you were reflecting on God, and you found yourself almost naturally transported from thinking about God as if he were distant or separate, and you almost, just like a stream bubbling, you found yourself praying to God. And then you'll notice that instead of the us that is in verse 1, we now have a different group of people, don't we? We have all nations. We have among people everywhere. Verse number 3 continues this. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. May the nations praise you, O God, New Living Translation. Yes, may all the nations praise you, all the peoples, all the nations. Verse 4. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on earth. Selah. Verse number 5 again repeats virtually the same as verse number 3. In the New King James, it's exactly the same. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. The New Living Translation says, may the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Again, all the peoples, all the nations. Verse number 6. Then the earth shall yield her increase. That is, the earth has produced its harvest. God, our own God, shall bless us. Verse 7, God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. The New Living Translation says, yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear him. Again, in verse 7, you see this, all the ends of the earth, the people all over the world. I finished this psalm, and I find myself saying, well, first, who is the us? Who is the us? Well, without much to do, at first glance, there appear to be two groups of people in the psalm, the us, and frankly, the grammar's not all that good, the not us. The us and the not us. Before we go any farther, I think we would want to know what makes the us. Well, in the psalm, the us is almost certainly Israel, the chosen people of God. The psalmist is writing in the context of God's work in the story, the narrative of the Bible, and at this point, God's people are Israelites. They are supposed to bear witness to him. They are supposed to be a holy people. You're supposed to be able to look at them and say they worship a God who is different than all the other gods that are spoken about in all the world. Why is it that they're different? They're different because their God is different. So the us appears to be God's chosen people, Israel. But at this point, because we have not just in view the Old Testament, we have in view the New this morning. We are Christians, not simply Jews or Israelites. It's still pertinent for us to think about what makes the us. Israel often got this wrong, and the church often gets this wrong. Verse number 1, God, be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. Verse number 6, then the earth shall yield her increase. God, our own God, shall bless us. So the us, they receive mercy from God and are thereby blessed. They feel the smile of God upon them. They see in God's care for them. The produce of the ground, broader, that God meets their basic needs. And they know that this isn't some cosmic accident. It is the good providence of God that their needs are met. The children's prayer said, by thy hands we are fed. The children's prayer is right. In other words, what makes the us? It is not, listen to me, it is not our moral or spiritual or intellectual superiority. It is not that the us, we're just better quality people. That's not what the psalm says. The psalm says that what makes the us is that they have received God's mercy. That they have taken delight in God's smiling face. That they have seen in God's good providence in their lives, his care for them, and they've celebrated it. But to be clear, Jesus said that God makes the sun to rise on the just and the unjust, and he gives rain to the just and the unjust. There are farmers in this county that have had a bumper crop, And as they've been harvesting it, they've said something like, God, thank you. And then there have been other farmers that have had a bumper crop, and they haven't said any such thing. And God blessed both of them. One of them received it as God's mercy, as God's favor, as God's kindness. That's to us. The not us just doesn't know how God feels about the not us. What makes the us? It is only that we have received God's grace. I've taught this before, but it's like when you listen to your greatest hits albums, right? You listen to it because you like the songs that are on it. Some of the other songs the group produced, they're good, but they're not your favorites. Look, grace perhaps is best understood in kind of a negative fashion. The idea that you have to have in order to understand God's grace is this: God doesn't owe you anything. If you start with that, then you have a chance of getting grace right. So anything that you would say, well, God owes me, and you would try to fill in that blank, if you understand the teaching of grace, you would always put, well, he owes me nothing. He doesn't owe me breath. He doesn't owe me a family. He doesn't owe me 10 fingers. He doesn't owe me 2 eyes. He doesn't owe me a good mind. He doesn't owe me a good back. He doesn't owe me anything. He doesn't owe me anything. This is not hyperbole. It's like literally true. God doesn't owe us anything. Once we get that, then we, like the psalmist, say, it's your mercy that makes us the us. It's your face, your smile shining down on us that makes us the us. It's that you providentially care for us that makes us the us. Are you humbled this morning to be part of the us? Do you know God could have just as well left you out? He could have left me out. I could have been the not us. And to be clear, I know I'm not better than any of the people who are the not us. Look at the psalm. God be merciful to the deserving. Is that what yours says? Throw the Bible away if it does. It's a terrible translation. God be merciful to us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. I do find something else interesting, and this is the part that I think is so exciting. Because frankly, most of us here think, whether rightly or wrongly, and I'm not God, so I'm not going to bother myself with this, okay? But most of us here think that we're part of the us. And I hope that you all are. But what's fascinating to me is that God has a plan for the not us. God has a plan for the not us. Yeah, God's positively relating to the us, the children of Israel, but he's also relating positively to the not us. According to the psalmist, God wants to be known. He wants to be praised. He wants to be rejoiced over and sung to or about. He wants to be known as the judge and the governor and feared, according to this psalm. And guess who? By whom? Verse number 2, that your way may be known where? On earth. Your salvation, look at it with him, among all nations. Verse number 3, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Verse number 5, let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the peoples praise you. Verse number 4, oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For you shall judge the people righteously and govern the nations on the earth. Aren't you glad that God is ultimately the one doing the judging? Though it's scary because nothing will be hidden from him, it's also hopeful because nothing will be hidden from him. Verse number 7, God shall bless us, what? And all the ends of the earth shall fear him. See, as we continue to think about this psalm, it seems that the psalmist asked God to bless the us so that the blessed us can prompt the not us to know God, to praise God, to be glad and sing about God, to embrace God's judgment and rule, and to fear God. Well, I've already asked it and I've already answered it, but just to keep our flow going, who is the us in the original context of the psalm? It's Israel. Who is the not us in the original context of the psalm? It's the Gentiles. It's the nations. It's the not Jews. Right? This psalm anticipates the not us becoming part of the us. This psalm anticipates the not us becoming part of the us. In the final book of the Bible, this is painted in a glorious scene. If you would, as I read the scripture, allow your mind to show you this in like a TV format. I want you to see the vision of it. So listen. After these things, John said, I saw four angels standing at the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, on the sea, or on any tree. Then I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried out with a loud voice to the four angels to whom it was granted to harm the earth and the sea, saying, do not harm the earth or the sea or the trees till we have sealed the servants of our God on their foreheads. And I heard the number of those who were sealed, 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel were sealed. Of the tribe of Judah, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Reuben, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Asher, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 were sealed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 were sealed. Well, there are your Jews. There's the not, there's the us. Right? That's the us. Wait a minute, though. It's not all the us. It's not all the us. Verse number 9. After these things, I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures. They fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God, saying, amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. The not us. They get to be part of the us. Unless you're a Jew, that ought to make you really happy this morning. Because Psalm 67 said God had a plan for the not us. Y'all can shout this morning. There's only so much I can do. So you can help me if you want to. Let me ask you a question. Would you like to be part of the us? Would you like to be part of the us? I'm not Jewish. Presumably you're not. So you started out as a not us. But God said he had a plan to make the not us the us. What's the plan? Paul says in 1 Timothy, therefore I exhort, first of all, the supplications and prayers and intercessions and the giving of thanks to be made for all men. Okay. So we can pray for everybody. All right. For kings and all who are in authority. Good kings, bad kings, mediocre kings, all kings. Okay. That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. And God our Savior is the subject of verse number 4. Verse number 4 says, who, that would be God our Savior, desires, which men, y'all say it. All right, that was weak. Say it again. All men. All men. You'll never meet anybody this side of glory that you can't tell about Jesus and invite them to follow him. All men. Who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. For there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom. You guys say it. For all, say it again, for all. This is glorious. God's plan has always been for the not us to be able to become the us. Brother Ricky, now let's finish this. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Paul says, for which I was appointed a preacher and an apostle, I'm speaking the truth in Christ and am not lying. That is, I'm a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Paul knows exactly what he's doing, and he's saying it deliberately, and it's sorted out in the whole New Testament. The not us Gentiles became part of the us people of God. And they're right alongside the Jews that have followed King Jesus. And in the book of Revelation, they're all sealed as the people of God. Brother Ricky, how can I become part of the people of God? If I'm part of the not us right now, what do I need to do to become part of the us? Romans 10:9 says, because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is God's plan. He is the one who allows the not us to become part of the us. He paid the penalty for your sin when he died on the cross. So your sin, your barrier, that which keeps you from being in right relationship with God, can be confessed by you and forgiven by God. That's what Jesus did. And then Jesus rose from the dead, and defeated death, hell, and the devil. And he said, I will share my victory over sin, death, hell, and the devil with you. I'm going to give you my victory. I whipped the devil. I'm going to hand you the victory. You're going to share in it. So we confess that Jesus is Lord. That is, he has the right to tell me how to live my life. We're not sheepish about this anymore. The question's been settled. Jesus has the right to tell me how to live my life. I spend the rest of my life trying to say yes to Jesus. It's that simple. Jesus, what kind of husband do you want me to be? This is the kind of husband I want you to be. Yes, Lord. What kind of father do you want me to be? This is the kind of father I want you to be. Yes, Lord. What kind of pastor do you want me to be? This is the kind of pastor I want you to be. Yes, Lord. I'm a student. What kind of student do you want me to be? This is the kind of student I want you to be. Yes, Lord. I will say, I don't want to skip this truth. I want to keep going, but Romans 10:13 finishes this thought. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so I need to emphasize something. I can't call out on the Lord for you. You have to call out on the Lord for yourself. I can't do that. Your mama and daddy can't do that. Your grandparents can't do that. You have to do that for yourself. I can't believe for you. I can't receive conviction of sin for you. I can't be baptized for you. I can't do any of that for you. Now, I can pray for you, but I can't be a substitute for you calling out on the name of the Lord in order to be saved. That's something you have to do on your own. Now, we need to finish this thought with something that's incredibly important. Many of us settled a long time ago. We went from being the not us to the us, and we've been the us for a long time. First thing, I just want to remind you, it's nothing but God's grace that you're part of the us. So if you've had a temptation to harbor any kind of spiritual elitism or anything like that, you need to tamp that down. You're part of the us solely by God's grace and mercy and kindness. You didn't get to be part of the us because you was better than somebody else. That's not how it works. Secondly, the us that exists on the earth, we largely have two things from God that we're supposed to be doing. The first is that us are supposed to worship God. The second thing is we're supposed to try to persuade the not us to become the us. Just to be really plain. We are, for lack of a better term, we're trying to argue. We're trying to persuade both with our lives and with our speech. We're trying to convince the not us to become the us. This won't surprise you, but Matthew's gospel records this. These are the words of Jesus. Some of his final words to the disciples. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them. Wait a minute. We better back up, hadn't we? Go, therefore, and make disciples. You say it. Of all nations. If there's a not us anywhere who hadn't heard, the us ought to be bothered about it. We ought not be happy until every one of the not us has had a chance to become one of the us. It ought to be unsatisfactory to us. That ought to be every Christian's pet peeve. You mean to tell me somebody somewhere in the world hadn't heard yet? Ought to be a spur in our saddle that we just can't get over. It's just an irritant. And until we're doing what we can to make sure that the gospel goes to the uttermost parts of the earth, we're just not happy about it. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Pardon me. Teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Acts 1:8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria. And then you say it. And to the end of the earth. My final thought, I have it on the screen, I think. The us want the not us to join the us. Because God wants the not us to join the us. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I pray the Lord has touched your heart this morning. If you're not certain that you're part of the us, listen to the Spirit of God speak to you. It is not God's plan that you be in the not us. He is ready to pour out His grace and His favor on you. He's ready to make His face shine upon you. He, in fact, has already been doing that. You just need to look up. He's already meeting your needs, even though you didn't know He was doing it. He's cared for you in lots of ways. Again, this is the God does know you anything. Call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. He will save you. He will change your life. He will forgive your sins. He will guide you and direct you. He will send the Holy Spirit to live in you so that you'll never be without the presence of God. Perhaps there are others who need to unite with this church. I invite you to do that. Make sure that you leave this place saying yes to the Lord Jesus. Please.